Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehr Show on WNYC. I'm Sarah Gonzalez sitting in for Brian Lehr. Good morning again, everyone. It's the holiday season, which means it's time for elaborate light displays. But this year, researchers are finding that twinkling lights can do more than just warm your soul. They might be a new way to think about treating Alzheimer's. That's right. New research demonstrates that in mice whose brains are under attack by Alzheimer's, exposure to lights that flicker at a precise frequency can energize the brain's immune cells to fight the disease. My guests now are Li Wei Tsai. She runs a lab at the Picower Institute for Learning and Memory at MIT, and she headed this new research. And joining her is Molly Webster, producer and journalist for Radiolab. Radiolab just came out with an episode about Dr. Li Wei Tsai's study. It's called Bringing Gamma Back, and it's out today. Li Wei and Molly, thank you both for joining me. And Li Wei, welcome to the Brian Lehr Show.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
So let's start with the basics. Dr. Li Wei, maybe you can start us off here. What happens to your brain when you have Alzheimer's?
So when you have Alzheimer's, I think most people know the brain has the buildup of this amyloid plaques. So these are just aggregation of the beta amyloid peptides. And also there are these tangles. These are intracellular filamentous materials made of the tau protein.
And this protein, it sort of like clogs up the brain. Is that right? It makes it difficult for people to remember things?
Exactly. Okay. They make the brain cells sick and destroy the normal memory function.
And here are some facts that I learned from your lab at MIT. 1 in 3 adults in the U.S. will die from Alzheimer's or age-related dementia. 46 million people throughout the world suffer from the disease. And Alzheimer's expenses are the greatest direct healthcare cost to the United States economy, greater than cancer. Dr. Li Wei, is there currently any kind of treatment for Alzheimer's?
So there are a couple of drugs that were approved many years ago, but they only have very modest effects on the symptoms, and they really don't change the fundamental disease mechanism at all. And there have been a lot of late phase human trials for potential new drugs that can have larger effects in people, but so far, unfortunately, and actually sadly, none of those drugs have succeeded in these trials.
And so they haven't succeeded in like halting the effects of Alzheimer's?
Basically, they fail because they don't have significant effects in helping the people with their daily life, with helping them to remember things better.
All right. Molly, I want to go to you. Mm-hmm. I listened to today's Radiolab episode, and it's sort of a breaking news episode, mm-hmm. which Radiolab hasn't really done before.
Yeah.
What exactly were you guys trying to do with this new study, which you have known about for a couple months
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I was talking to some folks at the Brain Institute at MIT, and they were running me through some of their research. This was last spring. And, they brought up Li Wei's work and it said, you know, we can't really tell you much, but we have someone who's working on something that has to do with like light and the brain, and we're getting some significant results. And I said, well, maybe you could tell me like something. And, you know, they said, well, like, you know, it's cleaning out half of some of the gunk that's building up in the brain. And you get to that point where you just think, oh, that feels crazy and fun and exciting. And just, Radiolab hasn't taken on Alzheimer's before. And then we thought, like, what would it be like to try and take the way our show works and do a breaking news story? And the thought was, well, we can just kind of really build out the feeling and the sounds of being inside the brain and just kind of play in a space that is a straighter news story.
Being inside the brain. So when I listened to it, yeah. I learned about the brain wave and brain beats, which are all part of the story. Mm-hmm. And when I thought that, I thought like rhythm and science, just like very fitting for Radiolab. So let's start talking about the study that you actually did. So you went to one of the labs and saw the cute little black fuzzy mice.
Yeah. So Li Wei invited me up to MIT to actually see their experimental setup, which is very cool, because I think when you think about light, or when you think about flickering light, like part of, and Li Wei can get into this more, but part of their study is actually using what feels to be like a vibrating light and administering it through the eyeball, and it actually affects cells in the brain. And I think that seeing it in person was super helpful, because in my mind, and I joked about to Li Wei, I said I wanted to go to a haunted house and get exposed to multiple blinking lights. And what I realized is that it's not actually like that at all. It really does feel like a sort of soft light that has been turned on, and it's just sort of
glowy and kind of
vibrational. You know, I said in the piece, it felt like my eye was twitching, as if I had an eye twitch and was just trying to adjust to what was happening in the room. And then we ended up actually doing the interview in the room for an hour. And so we just standing in a room with glowing lights and darkness, me and two of Li Wei's grad students and
so
Li Wei.
I want to take a little bit
Molly,
of a
Molly, did you feel better actually after that 1 hour?
I said that I felt relaxed, but I'm not sure. I might just feel relaxed if I stand in a room with nice people with the lights off. I don't know.
Okay, I want to take a little bit of a step back just to catch our listeners up maybe. So initially, Li Wei, you were like drilling into the brains of these mice and administering the flickering light treatment that way. And then you wanted to find a new way that was possibly less invasive. And so you guys created like a room, right? A storage closet with LED lights.
Exactly. So really, I mean, you know, we think that wouldn't be wonderful if we can, deliver the light using completely non-invasive approach. And so that this kind of approach can, you know, have much broader access to people. So so we know that this gamma waves, they are very important for everyone's brain. When you are thinking, when you are focusing on a task, your gamma waves in the brain become very intense. Okay, and that really can help you to complete all of these tasks. So, so really what we try to do is to restore or enhance these gamma waves in this Alzheimer's disease mouse models. And initially, we have to use this so-called optogenetics, which involves drilling a hole, a little hole in the brain to deliver stuff and in order to flicker lights to the brain. But then we say, no, this is never going to work in humans. We need to come up with something better. So so we started to experiment to just, you know, as Molly tell you, to flash lights, this glowing lights, to this Alzheimer's mouse models in a quiet little dark room. We basically just, you know, sort of put a LED light strip surrounding the room, and then, you know, we use a simple computer code to drive these lights to glow at this particular frequency, and, you know, we see how these mice respond. And when we saw the data for the first time, we saw this glunk, this amyloid is reduced by about half. You know, I right now, I cannot think of very good words to really describe our feeling. You know, we were just shocked, but also skeptical, you know, because this is the kind of results, kind of, you know, in the category of too good to be true, to be quite honest. So, you know,
I want to hear from some experts in our audience. Listeners, are you a doctor or a researcher who works to treat Alzheimer's? Do you have questions for Li Wei Tai about her new research on Alzheimer's, how it works, or anything else? We're looking for questions from doctors and researchers who work to study or treat Alzheimer's disease. Maybe where are you in the fight against the disease? And do you have a question for Dr. Li Wei Tai? She runs a lab at the Picower Institute for Learning and Memory at MIT. MIT, and she headed this new research. Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And Molly, did you want to pick up on
what? Yeah, I think I was thinking that when you first hear about the work, to take a step back, you think, I don't understand how light affects the brain, like what the connection right. between the two things would be. And so what I learned while I was reporting this piece is that, you know, you have brain cells, you know, neurons, and they fire, and they use electricity to fire. And so you can actually use light to make them pulse in an electrical right. way. And so in bringing light in either through the eye or in the sort of more invasive, what Li Wei described as optogenetics, which is actually a fiber optic cable through the skull pointed at certain populations of cells, you can actually force the neurons in the brain to fire in a way that you want them to. And then the thing that I did not know when I was going into this piece was that neurons like to fire both together, and they like to fire at certain rates or rhythms. And so this yeah. gamma wave, this that Li Wei is talking about, is this you know, the steady beat that's happening in the brain. And then, you know, and Li Wei, you can talk about this, they saw that in Alzheimer's brains, less of that rhythm is happening. And it seems to be very important for brain function.
And this flickering light treatment sort of triggers that brain yeah, activity again,
yeah.
cleans out the gunk and makes you, is the idea that it then makes you remember things again?
Well, Li Wei, I'll let you handle that one.
Yeah. It's a great question. So as I told you earlier, that you know, in everyone's brain, this gamma waves is the strongest when, you know, you're forming memory, you're consolidating memory. So I would speculate that when your gamma wave is strong, that definitely can help animals to remember things again. So we are currently doing those experiments. What I can say is we have very, very promising results.
Okay. I think I want to go to some callers now. Dave in Bergen County, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dave.
For some reason, my phone got really quiet. I have MS, and I have sporadic issues with memory and orientation, and I feel like I'm slipping. And what I wonder is, could I use these same techniques? Sorry about my phone. Could I use these same techniques to maybe help combat any issues like that I'm experiencing?
That's a very good question. So I think right now all these results that we have got is from animal models. And I think really to know whether this is going to help people like you, we really need to do some human testing first.
Is this something that would be dangerous for me to test myself?
I would not advise you to test yourself, because in our study, we also found that you need this very precise frequency. Mm-hmm. If, you know, the frequency, even if it is slightly off, it not only not work for you, it may even have bad effects in the brain. So I definitely would not try to do a homemade setup mm-hmm. or anything like that. But the good thing is we are trying very hard to do human testing as quickly as possible. So I really do hope that we will have some answer for you soon.
And Li Wei, is that the next step, human trials?
Definitely. So this whole technology, this gamma wave technology, is now licensed by a medical device company called Cognito Therapeutics. And I know that folks there are working very hard day and night to bring this to human trials as soon as possible.
And Molly, you reported mm-hmm. that very few of what works on mice in labs ends up working mm-hmm. on humans. Is that right?
Yeah, there was a study that was published in 2012 that looked at a decade's worth of Alzheimer's work that they tried to translate essentially from mice to humans. and largely pharmaceutically based. And their only one drug had gotten through in a decade. So in the end, the percentage was 99.6. And 99.6% that don't make it through.
That what works on mice does not work on humans.
Exactly. And it was – I mean, that is an – astounding number. And then I was talking to a researcher the other day, and he said, and I, you know, sort of saying like, why wouldn't something that works in mice work in humans? And he said, well, that's like saying, you know, essentially a mouse brain is like a lawnmower and a human brain is like a Maserati. And so you can only get so far in the lawnmower before you just have to go to the Maserati.
Okay, I want to go to another call quickly. Miriam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I was wondering if the researcher has seen any similarity between the sometimes treatment of depression by putting people in bright rooms. In other words, the effect of light on depression, which is obviously part due to something in the brain. And was this an influence in this idea, or has it been considered at all?
Miriam, that's a very, very good question. I think in general, our technology, I think, is very different from any attempt that has done before. I think this idea of, you know, stimulating the brain directly, either using the bright light, as you suggested, or some sort of electrical stimulation directly, you know, people usually use a very different kind of frequency, basically very low frequency, much, much, much lower. And, you know, the effect, I think, it's kind of all over the place. But here, what we are trying here, as Molly actually explained earlier, even though we call it flickering light, you actually hardly see the flicker at all. It's more like a glowing light. So I think that you know, it you know, right now we show beneficial effects in the Alzheimer's model, but eventually it will be interesting to see this technology will also have effects on other neurological diseases such as depression.
Okay, and I want to go to another caller who has a question that I had. This is Amy in Manhattan, wants to know if this treatment could restore memories that patients had already forgotten, or at least, I guess, in this case, mice. Amy, you're on WNYC?
Oh, yeah, well, that is basically a question, but it does restore the memories from before, or does it just allow people to form new memories from that point forward?
And Molly, why don't you take this one?
Well, so that's an interesting question because, as Li Wei said, they are embarking.
Or mice.
They are embarking on memory research in mice to see if the sort of light stimulation leads to eventually being able to form new memories or get memories back. We did report on another study for our episode that was also done at MIT. That sort of, you know, there's a dogma in the Alzheimer's research community that if you have at least early stage Alzheimer's, that you are unable to form new memories. And there was a study published at MIT last spring that actually showed that they were able to teach a mouse a new thing, which was actually to be scared of a box. And then the mouse had early Alzheimer's. It had then forgot the memory, but they were able to use a similar sort of light stimulation technique, but it was the invasive one. So drill open the skull, put in a little fiber optic table and cable, and stimulate neurons with light. So they did that in the brain, and they were actually able to bring that fear memory back again. And basically, it's a lot of complicated words just to say that what they showed was was that there are it does seem to be that you are able to store a memory to form a new memory when you have early Alzheimer's, but perhaps then the problem is actually retrieving it. It's not that it's lost, it's that you just kind of can't access it. So that is some work that's also being undertaken right now to understand the relationship between Alzheimer's and memory.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are affected by Alzheimer's have memories of a family member, mm-hmm. like all of a sudden out of nowhere remembering this thing. My grandma lived to be 101.
Wow.
And when she was 101, every once in a while she'd talk about a memory from like 1920 when she was 5 years old. And it was like, this is crazy.
Where did that come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we have time for one more question. So I will go to Bilal in Lincoln, Nebraska. Bilal, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate your show. I have a quick question. I was wondering whether the underlying mechanics, for many years in the popular non-scientific community, perhaps there's been this idea of neural entrainment and binaural beats, and people have gone around making glasses that they wear which have different sorts of strobing lights in them, and there's this sort of conception of entraining the brain and getting a synchronization and the neural firing between this external strobe and the internal neurons of the brain. Is there any relationship between that kind of work and what you've been doing? Is it a synchronization that's happening, or is it stimulation that's underlying it? And I'll take my answer off.
So this is a very good question. Indeed, this is an entrainment regime. So I think, you know, everybody has many different senses. We can see, we can listen, we can, our skin can sense, you know, touches and different things, different textures. So we all have all these many different senses. So you touch upon a very good point. So if this sense, is directed at you with a rhythm, then, you know, somehow this signal can be taken in, and the neurons can be trained to fire at this similar frequency. So, so it's really a fascinating arena that really has not been seriously looking at in terms of, you know, at the laboratory research level to look at, you know, how does this happen and what can be the consequences. So, our work. Sorry.
Yeah, no, thank you. I want to just get to one more question very quickly. We have a doctor in Miami, Florida. Anna Lee, you are on WNYC. Anna Lee?
Thank you for having me. I think it's a fascinating discussion. I was just wondering if either of the guests can comment on the ethics of starting human trials in Alzheimer's patients specifically, you know, because they would have a very difficult time obtaining informed consent from someone with advanced dementia.
So I think that, you know, I would suspect, even though, you know, a company really should make a decision, I would suspect that the technique should be first applied to maybe early stage or people, you know, have memory impairment already right before they have Alzheimer's, not so impaired, to see whether this technique can slow down the progression of the disease to begin with.
Yeah, I would say just really quick, one of the things to remember is that they're doing work on very, very early Alzheimer's and late as well.
Right.
So there's different cognitive functions in all of that.
And Lee, I just want to ask you one more thing. I heard that you have a special way of decorating your Christmas tree this year that's sort of dedicated to your research.
That was great. That was really fun.
What did you do?
Yeah, so we basically just put a strip of LED lights, you know, around the Christmas tree. So was very special.
Okay, Li Wei Tai runs a lab at the Picower Institute for Learning and Memory at MIT. She is the senior author of the study we've been talking about, which is out now in the online edition of the science journal Nature. Molly Webster is a journalist and producer for Radiolab. The newest episode is out today, and it's called Bringing Gamma Back. It's a really great listen. Li Wei and Molly, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.